If you have your Bibles, can you turn to Exodus, the first chapter of Exodus? Exodus, the first chapter of Exodus, beginning at verse 11. Exodus, the first chapter of Exodus, beginning at verse 11. It reads like this. Now, Exodus is right behind Genesis, so in case you're not familiar, it's in the front of your Bible. First chapter of Exodus begins like this. Therefore, they did set over them taskmasters to afflict them with their burdens. And they built for Pharaoh treasure cities, Python and Ramses. But the more they afflicted them, the more they multiplied and grew, and they were grieved because of the children of Israel. And the Egyptians made the children of Israel to serve with rigor.
Yes.
And they made their lives bitter with hard bondage, in mortar and in brick, and in all manner of service in the field. All their service wherein they made them serve was with rigor. Uh-huh. And the king of Egypt spake to the Hebrew midwives, of which the name of the one was Shipham, and the name of the other Puah. And he said, when ye do the office of a midwife to the Hebrew women and set them upon the stools, if it be a son, then you shall kill him.
Yes.
But if it be a daughter, then she shall live. Mm-hmm. But the midwives feared God, mm-hmm, and did not as the king of Egypt commanded them, mm-hmm, but saved the men and children alive.
Yes.
And the king of Egypt called for the midwives and said unto them, why have ye done this thing and have saved the men and children alive? And the midwives said unto Pharaoh, because the Hebrew women are not as the Egyptian women, for they are lively and are delivered ere the midwives come in unto them. Therefore God dealt well with the midwives.
Uh-huh.
And the people multiplied and waxed very mighty. And it came to pass, because the midwives feared God, that he made them houses.
Well, no.
I want to talk a little bit about please remember and don't forget.
All right, sir. All right.
Please remember and don't forget. Mm-hmm. We have come from a mighty long way as black people. We've had difficulties in every phase of our lives.
Yes, sir.
As Reverend Marshall was talking about, that history that he read there was our history.
Yes.
Many of us came from integrated schools before they were integrated, only black schools.
Yes.
Many of us had troubled times, barely making it, living on peanuts and little things. Many of the homes that came from where I lived at, many of them were dirt floor homes. Praise God, my father was able to build us a home with a regular floor in it. But a lot of our neighbors had dirt floor homes.
Uh-huh.
And when it got cold, it got cold.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
There was no insulation in the walls of the building. It was a rough time. They wrapped in blankets heavy. I remember my grandparents' house, no insulation in the walls. And my grandma would say, when you go to sleep, wrap up and wrap up and re-wrap. Because it was cold in that place.
Uh-huh.
I could look out and look through the roof sometime and see outside, see the stars in the sky. It was rough time for black folks. You don't know what I'm talking about unless you've been there. I know Brother Small knows what I'm talking about. There was some rough times in our lives. The Hebrew children had a mirror image of our existence as theirs was. They were enslaved them sharp to eat the body. It was a rough time. But we act like we've been good all this time. It's been rough for us. So when you see families respond to the troubles of life, and some of them don't do it the way you and I do it, understand that they're going through more difficult times than you are. Life has not been good to some of us. Some of us were able to get an education. And Reverend Marshall was talking about his family where they finished high school with. I was just the opposite. We had 10 children. And in our family, 7 of us had college degrees. Wow. And in black communities, that's rare. Yes, it is. 2 of them have extra degrees. So I'm saying that we were fortunate. My mother would let us sit down by the lamplight and look at it and go over some of the words we had to go over. She put us in a reading program where we, this was her program, where we read books to her. I mean, I'm telling you, she knew that education was important.
Yeah, it is.
Some people didn't have that. My mom could read. Many of my friends' mothers could not read. Like my dad was a third grade education. All he could say a lot of times was all plus all equals all. He knew numbers. You couldn't cheat him out of his money. He might not have been able to read a word, but you couldn't cheat him out of his money. And I used to hear him say, "Alt and alt is alt." He said, "Alt was zero." I didn't know that then, but he said, "Alt and alt is alt." Many of our black families are still struggling. But where we come from, you got to be able to say, "I remember and I won't forget." I remember and I won't forget. Don't let them make you forget where you come from. Your history is important to you. I feel sometimes like we're missing the boat because our children don't see it with the emphasis that we see it. Or the way I feel it anyway. I'm coming from the area where I know where my first a black American came to black America. I know where he's buried at. I have his tomb is right down in my hometown.
My God.
That's where I was a slave. My grandfather was a slave. My great-grandfather was a slave there.
Wow.
I see it. I know where all their tombs are. They're lying side by side. And they were all halls. And my grandfathers and my great-uncles and all of them were laid right there beside each other. I know the history of our people. And I'm telling you, when you tell your children and they are aware of where their history comes from, it makes them feel a certain way.
It does.
It's sometimes a little scary because they can't handle it.
Uh-huh.
I know my oldest son, when my father told him how rough life had been, he went back to school and he was in elementary school and started fighting all the white kids. Couldn't handle it. And I told my dad, you shouldn't have told him all that. My dad said, "If you ain't going to tell him, I'm going to tell him." That was my dad's way. And my son really was angry for months. Every time he saw a white kid, he wanted to go punch him just for his way to get his father, his grandfather. So I'm telling you, you know, we forget where we come from. But see, here's the part about this Hebrew children. The Bible says that Moses was put into the water.
Yes.
And they were trying to, the edict, the law went out to say that every male child killed him. Every male child killed him. Not the female, but every male child. And if you look back in your history, even today, who is dying most?
Come on, Pastor.
The male child. The male child are killing, even though they're killing themselves and killing each other, they're killing each other. And that's the same thing that was happening back then.
Yes.
They were trying to kill all the males. Because they know if they destroy the males, they got a better chance of dominating females. But if you got the males there, then you got another problem to deal with.
Yes.
So our society is still doing the same thing. It's called emasculating black men. Taking from them that which is rightfully theirs. See, one thing about black people, black men especially, we have a hard time for a man to come up to us and make us feel less than a man. We have a hard time with that. That's not how we're made. That's why when you have black boys, you have a hard time as a woman controlling them because they're men. Their nature of them is to rebel and to be able to make their own course. That's the nature of a man. But sometimes it's looked at in different ways, and our women think our boys are just mean and all that. No, they are fighting that natural instinct to be a male.
Yes.
To be over somebody, to dominate.
Uh-huh.
That's who we are. But we have to train them when it is time to dominate and when it is time to subjugate, when it is time to back off.
Uh-huh.
They have to be taught that.
Yes.
Black males have to be taught that.
Yes.
And they're not taught that in many cases. So they go through their whole life messing up, making things difficult when they could not have been. Pharaoh said that the women who brought in the new babies, this is the part that sounds so interesting to me, that when the new babies were born from the Egyptian women, they could help, they were able to hold them and help them to bring the baby into the world. But the women for the Israelites, the Hebrews, or black folk,
okay,
says those babies were just dropped right out of the women, and they couldn't get to them to kill those babies because the women were having the babies right away.
Uh-uh.
That sounds like a black person. We're one thing about us, and Reverend Marshall was talking about our history, where you know we have dominated all these sports. You name the sport, except for ice hockey. You name the sport, we got it. Football, baseball, basketball, track and field. We're just naturally gifted, and nobody understands why. I know why, because God made us special. You might not believe that, but God made us special. I remember hearing when I was a youngster that, you know, we went to we had to get our physicals, and the doctor was saying that all the black males had enlarged tarps. You ever hear that? You ever hear that? You might not hear that. But all the black males had enlarged hearts.
Uh-huh.
Couldn't help it. Our hearts are made stronger. Our hearts are made larger.
Mm-hmm.
Our chest is thicker.
Yes, sir.
We're built different than the white man.
Mm-hmm.
People just don't understand it. We're different. And the trouble is many of us see it from a physicality, and we don't understand that if you're strong here, you're also strong here. When we can educate ourselves well, we have good thinking patterns. We are a special people, but we don't recognize our specialness. If we could only teach the young people that they're special. God made them differently. I remember even as a youngster when I was going to, we mixed schools. I was an all-black kid till the 10th grade. The 11th grade I went to, 11th and 12th, I went to a white school. And we would be in different programs like when the track and field and things like that. And they would show us the white kids' times and what they were running different times. And here we come, a whole bunch of black kids coming in now and shattering everything they got there. It didn't even look right. Back then they were saying, what y'all taking? We ain't taking nothing. We just made different. Understand who we are. So, you know, even in my one family here, we were, most of them was all conference. And then my brothers and sisters, all state. Yeah. I mean, and we barely started the sport because we didn't have it from the black school. We just come in and started running faster than them. Then they would get mad and want to fight because we couldn't. They would say, you know, if you have a track team and you got a 4x4, you know, 4x4 is when you got four guys running a quarter mile. And so what we would do is they would always try to have white kids in there. Uh-huh. But when you're playing against a school that has all black kids on it, you're gonna lose. Because a white kid's gonna be falling behind. And everybody in the office gonna say, oh, here he goes again. Why didn't you put a black kid in there? But he wouldn't do it because he wanted to make sure that the whites were involved. And we used to get so mad. We lost that because of you, boy. I know that was sound good, but that's what we did. I'm telling you the way it was. We enjoyed the advantages of being black. There's advantages of being black. I ain't talking about to the white person. I'm talking about your natural build, your natural abilities. God has made you special.
Thank you, Lord.
Recognize who you are. Please remember and don't forget. Remember who you are. Remember what God has done to you, how he's made you. Remember your parents and your grandparents, who they are and the way they have made your lives. Thank God for our grandparents. But that's what saved the Hebrew children. The grandmothers, the mothers were the ones delivering the babies. And they kept those children and they hid them from Pharaoh.
Yes, sir.
They hid those babies. And Pharaoh saying, why are these children still living? What is it about these Hebrew boys? And see, now look, the Hebrew boys were very similar to us. Very similar to us. And that's why they survived.
Yes.
And they had their Moses and we had ours. We can still thank God for all the blessings. And one thing about it, I like that one that Reverend Marshall was talking about, was how our religiosity or our religion, our relationship in Christ is more sincere, more often.
Yes.
Isn't that something?
Yes.
We have a harder time in believing there's no such thing as God than white men. We believe that God is a God. That God sits on the throne. It's hard for us to say, no, he don't. Ain't no such thing. When you see a Negro do that, you know you got a bad Negro. You hear what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
Some of them, they've gone the old way. They've gone the wrong way. I was getting close to it. God brought me around. I was getting out there enough to believe in nothing, not such thing as God. Uh-huh. Although I went to Sunday school and church and everything.
Yes,
I go to college and they start telling me all this crazy stuff.
Uh-huh.
That what Socrates said, and I believed it. And I went home one Sunday, I come home from college. Now let me tell you something. Now this is I went to the University of Delaware. I was one of the first black kids to go to the University of Delaware.
Amen.
We were on there as a group together.
Mm-hmm.
So it was rare for us. So they put us together so that we could kind of feel identity. So we felt that identity. And I was in a philosophy class, and they told us that Socrates and all those guys don't believe that such thing is God. And so I'm reading their books and I'm in that class. I'm learning that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
We go home for Thanksgiving.
Uh-huh.
And my dad says, it's time to pray.
Uh-huh.
Now, my dad wasn't a big time prayer, but Thanksgiving, he prayed. And when he started praying, I said out under my voice, ain't no such thing as God.
Uh-oh.
He stopped in the middle. What you say, boy? They told me in the book, said he don't really exist. He said, get your stuff and get out of this house. Before he finished praying, I had to leave the house. I remember my younger sisters, they were crying because they were younger than me. My brother, they were all crying. Wendell's going to hell. Wendell is going to hell, y'all. We got one in our family, and he's going to hell. And I believe that I was going that way because I said, I got messed up. I believe there's no such thing. I read the book. It was in there printed, and there's no such thing as God. I read it in the books of Socrates. I read it. So if it had been in the book, I was always taught to read and understand. If you believe what you read, I read and believed it. My father told me, son, until you change your ways, you're not welcome in this house. I changed right away. Thanksgiving dinner on the table, I changed right away. That's an anything much, yes, sir. You're right, Dad, you're right. I told him that I didn't believe that stuff in the first place. You know, and I went that direction. I'm thankful, but God changed me. He changed my mind and heart. It wasn't long after that. Matter of fact, even at the end of the book, I was really, had saw where, oh my, why didn't you put this in the front? In the front, it says that what I'm said, if I exist, therefore I must be. Okay. That makes it right there. That solves it. When I found that, I said, thank you, Jesus. But I'm just trying to show you that we've come from the struggle. We have come from the struggle. But we must not forget and always remember that God is on our side.
Yes, he is.
That you're not alone. That in the midst of your struggles that you're dealing with, God is with you. He said, though you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, fear no evil, my rod and my staff, you comfort me. I'm with you, he said. And when God says he's with you, he's with you. He's able to do everything exceedingly wonderful above all things God can do. And I'm so glad that he sent his son. He loved us so much that he sent his son named Jesus. And look what he has done for us. Brought us together from various venues to come to celebrate and to worship him. Ain't he a good God? He made us out of nothing, out of clay he made us. And here we are, grown adults now, telling the truth of Jesus, living the lives of the blessings that he bestowed upon us. Aren't you glad about it?
Oh, yeah.
Things ain't like they used to be, huh? Look what God has done. It used to be tough being black, but now it's improved. Am I right, Brother Eddie? It's improved. It's improving every day. Young people are getting education every day. Food being provided more for our people every day. Our young children are getting educated every day. Kids in college and all this kind of stuff. Look what God has done for us. He's been good to us. And I'm glad that I know this man named Jesus. Though he's been a friend like none of them.
Yeah.
I can tell you he brought joy to my life. The man named Jesus. Somebody called him the lily of the valley. And that bright and morning star. Do you know Jesus? Tell your friends that you got a friend named Jesus. He's there by your side. Tell them now. Tell them, look what he done for you. How he made a way out of no way for you. Tell them about Jesus. Oh, I'm so glad about it, church. I'm so glad about it. He's been good. He's been mighty good.
Yes, he
has. I'm so glad that my God, my Savior lives. I'm so glad that he called my name. Aren't you glad about it? Praise God. I'm going to close out. If there's anyone here that wants to give their life to Christ, our doors are open.